This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod. The Vatican Assassin Trilogy and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer, and reader, Mike Luoma. And we've got a couple of chapters from the Star Seeds of Earth on the way on this episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. When we left Alibi Jones, he was blasting through space, at least mentally. He was on a mental voyage, his mind somehow racing across systems and galaxies, but his half-brother Hap is with him. He's got a hook in him, a mental hook in him. Alibi drew him away from the hornet's nest so that when the shield Alibi put around Hap erupts, people won't get hurt by the mental blast. But now Alibi can't get away from Hap either, so hopefully he's not going to be hurt by this. And how will he get rid of him? We'll have to find out what happens in chapters 83 and 84 of The Starseeds of Earth, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. A reminder that the Smashwords July Summer Winter Sale continues. You can get some of my ebooks for free and at discount. For free, Vatican Assassin, Vatican Ambassador, Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her, and the ebook for this book you're listening to, The Starseeds of Earth. You can also get The Adventures of Alibi Jones Chronological Omnibus for 75% off, just $1.24. And get the Vatican Assassin Trilogy First Edition for just $1.49. 50% off. It's all at smashwords.com, or follow the link in the show notes. A reminder, too, that this is episode 664. We are two away from special guest Andrew P. Weston joining us for something diabolical as he reads from his latest hellish masterpiece, Call of the Cambion, which is part of his latest The Cambion Journals, his latest series. A Cambion is a half-demon, half-human hybrid, and a master of such hellish tales as Andy is seemed perfect as a guest for our episode 666 of Glow in the Dark Radio that is on the way. So I'm looking forward to unleashing Andy on you, coming up in just a couple here. I want to thank my patrons who help keep this podcast going. There are people who are signed up through patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio, and they donate $2, $5, or $10 a month towards the podcast to keep things going. Now, I try to reward my patrons with extra stuff. I haven't been able to do a lot of that in the last couple of months, so I want to thank my patrons for still continuing to support this podcast and being there for Glow in the Dark Radio. And if you can help out too, I would love to have you on board. Again, you can go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio, or just go to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com and look for the link to Patreon to become a patron, or to just get more information. We've got two chapters on the way from The Starseeds of Earth, chapters 83 and 84, coming up next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
50 years ago, Mira, humankind's last hope to find new resources, departed the solar system. 7 years into her mission, she disappeared. She has returned. SNR Black, a Sol Federation Marine Corps vessel, is sent to retrieve her from certain destruction in the Kuiper Belt beyond Pluto. What they find will change humankind forever. From Parsec Award-winning author Paul E. Cooley, Derelict, Marines, Part 1 of the Derelict Saga, combines military sci-fi, space opera, mystery, and suspense to create a journey you won't forget. Podcast available at shadowpublications.com. Paperback and ebook available from amazon.com. Some mysteries shouldn't be solved.
Now here's Chapter 83 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Alibi flew as hard as he could, as fast as he could, around and through nebulae, past planets of all shapes and sizes, around blue giants and white dwarfs, and yellow stars and red giants and supernova, past pulsars and quasars, all the while trying to lose the hook Hap had sunk into his side. It was no use. Every so often, Hap gave it a mental yank, letting Alibi know he still had him. Alibi grew tired, mentally exhausted by the astral chase. "You're never getting away from me now," Hap said, far too close behind. Alibi changed course to fly up off the plane of the spiral arm he was in, away from the stars and space dust and unprotected minds. He flew beyond the limits of this galaxy, and soon passed the next, into the darkness in between the stars. Maybe there is a way. He knew the knowledge base would not approve, but he cast his mind out to find the eternal no. The no he'd sensed before in the dark and silent spaces, the realm of nothing. And there it was again. It was beautiful. He could not comprehend it. It was nothing. It was beautiful. "Look at that, Hap," Alibi said, as Hap approached. "What?" Hap said, sour face. Alibi reached over and loosed Hap from the shield. Freed, Hap blew out consciousness like a mental supernova, his polluted power pouring forth uncontrolled. The hunger of the no was profound and felt keenly by Alibi as it beheld the feast of Hap. And so, it began to consume. "It's beautiful," Hap said. "Did you bring me out here to see this, Alibi? Thank you. Is it God? So beautiful." Alibi knew now to race away. He sped from Hap as fast as he could, and he felt Hap's hook catch, finally, at some distance, and then rip away, disappearing into the darkness. Pain! Had Hap torn off a piece of Alibi's soul with his hook? Alibi felt like something was missing, something small but important, but he couldn't place what. Freed, he raced back to rejoin his body in the hornet's nest. Alibi allowed himself to return to the physical plane. He shook as he came back into himself. Kit flashed by him, pouncing and landing on top of Hap. The altered Dakur roared as its fur and claws flew. Something snapped. A silver cord let go. Kit said, slowing his attack. Emily had a foot on the back of Tina on the floor in front of her. Kit growled. Alibi looked over and looked Kit in the eyes. "Kit, do you hear me?"
"Alibi Jones, I am having a hard time stopping myself. I did not mean to kill these men."
"I know. You're adjusting. You'll be okay, Kit. These were bad men. It had to be done." Apparently, the big cat man had done in Hap's body. Alibi kept his next thoughts to himself. The Colosseum? Maybe Hap knew where he was after all. Killed by our lion. I'm not sure there was anything much left of Hap in his body to kill, however. "Is there anyone else on their ship?" Emily asked. "I don't think so," Alibi said. "Let me check." Alibi felt like he could finally open himself up to search out his surroundings, expose himself a little, be vulnerable. He reached out. First, he sensed Tap and his man Martin. Both were clearly dead, any spark moving on and away from their bodies. The woman on the floor was also gone. She might be physically alive, but her soul was no longer there. Emily, what happened to her? Emily looked down, frowned, and then lifted her foot up off the woman. She was still with us when I put her down, Emily said. She was squirming. He kinda touched her before he died, she nodded at Hap. Wonder if he did that to her. Taking her with him? Alibi said. Sad, to the end. Alibi gathered calm and let his awareness expand, and grew surprised. He again paused in his searching. Hey, Emily, he said. We stopped moving. Yeah, Emily said. I did that when I saw what was waiting for us out there. We're okay for now. Okay, he said. She nodded. Okay, then. Alibi again let his consciousness widen out. Spear's stinger ship outside was empty. All passengers seemed accounted for. He could feel Grizz, Hector, Katie, DJ, and Bob out there, buzzing around, keeping stray rocks away. Further out still, he could feel the Solar Alliance Interplanetary Force, Strike Force, almost 80 ships total, a dreadnought, its stinger ships, cruisers, and attack wing. Yep, real enough. And there were greater TOS ships as well, harder to feel. Alibi began to sense the absence of feeling again, similar to how Spear's circlet had felt invisible. In this case, however, the size was massive, like three small moons. A word came to him. Enforcers. These were the Shenta enforcers he'd heard about. He couldn't feel them with his mind, so he tried to be present remotely, in the space, to view them visually. They were odd-looking. They relied on force field shielding and didn't enter atmospheres, so they didn't have proper hulls. As Hap had said, they looked like floating construction platforms built around big guns and engines. There were still a few thousand asteroids around the Hornet's Nest, so they appeared safe for the moment. Alibi surveyed the space around them. He could see where the wake of the passing of the Hornet's Nest had disturbed the age-old equilibrium of the orbiting field. Rocks careened chaotically, smashing together, shooting off askew, or drifting away on a new trajectory. We'll have to keep moving the nest forward to stay ahead of that, a little each day. Alibi expanded out further, enjoying the scope and scale of his awareness. He saw the greater Ta, the extent of all they held in their orderly grip. A huge number of worlds now. So many sparks of life, held to their discipline. He once used a tool of the ancient enemy, a travel chair, they called it, which allowed him to travel astrally among the stars. This was similar, and yet very different. More organic, if that was a term that still held meaning. Alibi had no desire to delve too deeply this time, and so pulled back from the dark spaces between the stars and galaxies, resisting the call of the Eldritch powers. A hunger beyond ancient. He could still sense it, though. He knew. It knew him. As Alibi pulled back, he saw the depot fringe, as scattered bright lights, bright patches of consciousness gathered together, yet spread out across light years. Alibi focused in on himself, drawing inward, back through the asteroid field, the nest, and into his own mind. A glimpse of something he sensed, just before becoming solid once more, gave him some inspiration as he returned to the physical. Cat. Their ship is empty outside, Alibi said, but there is a strike force out there, and three big Greater Ta ships. I think they call them enforcers. We've been picking up something like that, she said. I also saw the path we're leaving behind us, Alibi said. We can't go back. No, Emily said. No, we can't. And we have to keep moving ahead a bit every day to stay ahead of the chaos we've already left in our wake. "Yup," she said. "You saw all that, huh?" "Yeah," Alibi said. "We're going to need those transpace drives after all." "Krish is working on them," Emily said. "Okay," Alibi said. "Sounds good. Another thing. Kit!" The half-feral cat beast man turned his way. Alibi tried to lock eyes with him to speak mind to mind, but Kit looked away. "Kit!" Alibi yelled at him. "Look at me, damn it!" Kit looked him in the eyes, and Alibi felt his shame as well as his thought of it.
"I am ashamed of what I am now, of what I've become, Alibi Jones."
"I have an idea to stabilize you. Maybe."
"Really?"
"Will you come with me?"
"Where?"
"To your quarters."
"Yes."
"I'm going to take Kit to his quarters," Alibi said to Emily. "I have an idea that might help him." "You do?" she said. "Okay. Why don't you head back to the control room, see where we're at? We're going to need more pilots to run protect and blast missions around us to keep us safe. And we need to keep an eye on that fleet, see if they start trying to blast their way in again." "I was thinking the same thing," she said. "I don't need to tell you then," Alibi said. He smiled. "Were you also thinking about getting Krish more personnel, if he can use them?" "I was," she said. "Yep, I don't have to tell you anything then," Alibi said. "Let me see if I can help Kit. And maybe someone else too." "Who?" "I don't want to say yet," Alibi said. "Sorry to be mysterious, just hope for the best." "All right."
Chapter 84.
Alibi led Kit to Kit's quarters. "Kit," Alibi said to get his attention. Kit looked him in the eyes.
"Now what, Alibi Jones?" "Give me a few minutes, okay? I need to concentrate for a minute or two."
Alibi allowed himself to open his mind just slightly, enough to perceive the other presence in those quarters, the one he'd sensed earlier.
"Cat, is that you?" "Alibi Jones, you can sense me."
"Yes."
"It has been so long. Oh, praise the founders. You can sense me. But what has happened to Kit?"
"He has been altered by the substance from the starseed. He has lost an element of control."
"Oh."
"Do you sense how he ricochets around within his shell?"
"I do. Chaotic."
Cat thought back. "As if there was too much room."
"Oh. Now I understand what you propose to do, Alibi Jones."
"I believe the two of you, together in there, could control what he has become. It is not perfect, but it would give you back a body again some of the time, and would give Kit control back some of the time."
"Can we do this? How?"
"I think I may be able to facilitate it. Let me see."
"Kit!"
"Kit!" Alibi yelled in the physical realm as well, trying to get his attention. He swung his large brown and orange furred body around and glared down at Alibi.
"Hurr!"
he growled.
"Kit, do you hear me?"
"Yes."
"Cat is here."
"Cat is dead."
"Cat is not dead. Cat is here, but he has no body. Come here, Cat."
"See as I see, Kit. Let me put my hand on you, Kit."
Alibi reached out gingerly, carefully, and laid a hand on Kit's shoulder. Kit was vibrating with intense energies. Alibi placed his other hand where Cat's shoulder would have been, were he there physically.
"Cat, I see Cat."
Kit gained clarity as he spotted his long-lost brother.
"I see you too, brother."
Alibi started to think in terms of mind water, and began to draw its flowing power into himself, letting it flow into Cat and Kit, too.
What are you doing, Alibi Jones?
I'm drawing power in to prepare for the transformation, Cat. Will you help Kit control his new form?
Share his form?
Share his new body. Kit, will you share your mind and body with your brother, if it means regaining your control?
Yes, he is welcome to try to help.
Open yourself up, Kit. Cat, walk through me into Kit.
Alibi felt Cat pass through him, as he did as he asked.
Alibi added energy, added flowing mind water, and propelled Cat into Kit.
Hold on to your brother.
The giant Catman blinked.
Huh? This is very strange,
Kitten Cat said, his translator once again working. The overlarge Dakur smoothed fur from its face and shook its shoulders, loosening up.
I now know far too much about my brother, and so do I.
Did it work? Alibi asked.
It seems to have, yes, it seems to have, Kitten Cat said. We both try speaking at once, it is not working right yet.
I am sure this will take a lot of getting used to, Alibi said. But Kit, you just brought your brother back from the dead.
And invited him to move into my new body, Kitten Cat said. This is jarring. And now I see what I have become, physically, more clearly. I am a monster.
You don't have to be, Alibi said. You're among people who care about you. And Cat. However we get Cat back, they're going to be happy he's here.
I am Cat. Please do not refer to me as if I am not here,
Kitten Cat said.
Like I said, this will take some getting used to, Alibi said. You seem calmer.
Yes, that did work as well it did work,
Kitten Cat said.
As well.
He looked down.
I did not need to kill those men earlier.
They were here to kill me, Alibi said. I'm not condoning murder, Kitten Cat, but defense is another thing.
This is very strange,
Kitten Cat said. They shook their arms as if testing them out.
I'm glad it worked, Alibi said. It seems to have given you control, Kit, and brought us back Cat.
There is control,
Kitten Cat said,
but we share it.
I imagine there will be a lot to work out, Alibi said. He yawned.
Sorry, I'm exhausted. But I'm going to head up to the control room and check on Emily and Krish's progress before I collapse and sleep a little.
Thank you, Alibi Jones,
Kitten Cat said.
This is a strange way to be, and yet here we are. We have a lot to contemplate and work out within. Until later, then.
Later, he said.
Alibi left Kitten Cat alone, together. He was almost asleep on his feet.
You should sleep.
KB, can't I just draw on some mind water or something?
No. Correct that. You can, but it is not recommended. You have done a great deal in a short time, and should rest.
Soon. Pretty cool to have Cat back, huh?
That was... You should not have been able to do that at your level.
I'm an overachiever.
Alibi ended the internal conversation as he walked into the control room. He spotted the newly bigger and bulkier Emily towering over the others as he entered. She almost had a glow. Her innate force fields now repelled some of Alibi's powers, so he didn't see through her the way he now saw through some others. Her inner spirit shined brightly, a luminous spark.
Emily!
Alibi Jones, she said. Did you do your mysterious thing?
I did,
Alibi said. It is a very long story, and I am very tired. I'll be happy to tell you after some sleep. I have to sleep, if I can. What's going on? No change from earlier, she said. My course plotting calculations will allow us to stay where we are for a while. Katie, DJ, Hector, Bob, and Grizz are out protecting the nest, picking off rocks and watching for any approaching ships. Nothing so far. Alibi realized one name was missing. What happened to Gentry? He and your aunt headed back to Depot, she said. Said he couldn't get caught here. Also mentioned that if Constantine and the Greater Ta were going to war footing out here on the fringe, he had work to do. I'll bet he does, Alibi said.
It would be nice to know whose side he was on.
Is he on our side, Alibi? She asked. I was just wondering that myself, Alibi said. I'm going to go to sleep. Wake me up if anything happens. Will do, she said. But don't worry, get some rest. You earned it.
That was Chapter 83 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow-in-the-Dark Radio. Alibi lost tap and survived his mental eruption. But at what cost? A small part of him is missing? And now Alibi's put Cat and Kit together, bringing Cat back from the almost dead. So, man, what else can Alibi do now that he's been altered? It's a question. Maybe we'll get the answer in our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. Again, thank you to my patrons who help keep this podcast going. And if you can help out for $2, $5, or $10 a month, please consider becoming a patron at Patreon. Go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio or go to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com and follow the links to Patreon. Again, we're just an episode away now from Andy Weston bringing us The Call of the Cambion coming up in just a couple episodes as episode 666 of Glow in the Dark Radio looms large on the horizon. Glad to have a special guest for that one. And remember, too, the Smashwords July Summer Winter Sale is underway. It continues through the end of the month with your chance to get some ebooks for free and others at a discount. Get the Vatican Assassin Trilogy for 50% off, just $1.49. The Adventures of Alibi Jones Chronological Omnibus for 75% off, $1.24. And then the books you can get for free, Vatican Assassin, the Vatican Assassin 15th Anniversary Edition, Vatican Ambassador, Alibi Jones, Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her, and the book that we're listening to on this podcast. You can get the ebook of The Starseeds of Earth for free as part of Smashwords July Summer Winter Sale going on now at smashwords.com. And you can follow the link in the show notes for more. That is all for this time. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio. Glow in the Dark Radio.
This podcast presentation, copyright 2022 by Michael F. Luoma, and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Accompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and MikeLuoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.